Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Welcome again to St. Andrew's Anglican Church. All around the world this morning, Christians are proclaiming a remarkable message. And that message is that he has risen. As I told the kids, that egg was empty, and so is Jesus' tomb. And that's what we're all about. He died. He rose. And he promised to take us with him one day. The world loves to tease with empty promises, but God bless us is with promises that he always keeps. God is the complete opposite of this world. The world says we can pretty much do whatever we want to do, but God says we should only do that which he wants us to do. The world gives us promises that are full of emptiness, but on Easter, God gave us emptiness that is chock full of promises. Amen? Thank you, choir. This morning on this Easter Sunday, I'd like to suggest to you that there are three promises of Easter. Each promise is marked by emptiness. An empty cross, empty burial clothes, and an empty tomb. Just the fact that these are empty gives us an absolute assurance that God's promises are very, very real. Our Christian belief system is based upon the truth that Jesus rose from the tomb to defeat sin and death. If Jesus had not come out of the tomb, we'd be like every other religion in the world, following a dead leader. Grave. Very grave. Here's the story of a young Muslim man who came to receive Christ. And when he went back to his friends and family, he found them more than just a little upset with him. They demanded to know why he did such a terrible thing. So he asked his family, if you needed to go to a town, but didn't know the way, and you were walking down a road that split in two, and you found a man at the beginning of each of the roads, one dead and the other alive, which one would you ask for directions? Buddha founded Buddhism, but Buddha died. Judaism was founded by Abraham, but Abraham also died. Islam was founded by Muhammad, and he also died. Christianity, worshiped the one true God, was founded by Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, who came back from the grave. And I'm here to tell you today, he still lives. He set us free from sin and eternal death, giving us the hope of spending all eternity with him. I'd like you to imagine, if you would, those three crosses by that hill called Golgotha. Please focus on the one in the middle. That's the one Jesus gave up his life on for you and me. It's not a pretty picture, nor was it an easy death. I think it's absolutely necessary for all of us to be aware of and never forget just what Jesus went through on our behalf. I don't think we can ever really appreciate exactly what he did unless we know exactly what he did. I can remember when I was in seminary in Pennsylvania and the movie The Passion of the Christ came out. My family and I went to this theater. It was difficult to watch. And there was a lot of discomfort moving around in that theater, watching what Jesus went through, the scenes showing the torture. One lady on the way out even went so far as to say, "That is disgusting." But if you saw the effect of the sin of the world, that's disgusting. There have been all kinds of stories made up over the centuries to soften the blow so somebody could keep from having to admit to the agony that Jesus endured on our behalf. Roman soldiers were incredibly good at what they did. They were trained professionals, masters of torture and death. It was their job to break the legs of anyone who was crucified. So they couldn't support themselves on the cross and they would suffocate themselves. Don't think for a moment that they didn't have absolute and complete knowledge that Jesus was very dead when they took him from the cross. Soldiers knew it, the Romans knew it, and so did the Jews. These men were glad that Jesus was dead, but when they found out that he had risen from the dead, they needed to keep it quiet from the rest of the people. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, his detractors cooked up a lie, which you can find on verse 13, which says, "You must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep." An absolute lie that covered up the truth about Jesus. And Lord knows we've been listening to that lie in one form or another since then. Common sense states that with all the authorities wanting Jesus dead, they would have arrested anyone in the city that had any part in taking him from the tomb. That makes sense, doesn't it? These were the Romans. They would have found whoever was responsible for it. No matter what you may have heard in your life, there is proof that Jesus died on that cross. And it was on that cross that Jesus actually defeated sin on our behalf. And that cross remains empty because that's where our sin disappeared, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's face it. Each and every one of us here today is guilty. Every one of us is a sinner. We've all sinned. There are things in our lives that we're not proud of. We don't want to remember. Holy Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. According to God's law, what you and I deserve when we sin is to be put to death. The wages of sin is death. And the soul that sins will surely die. Because we're all sinners, what we deserve is to die and be condemned to hell for all eternity. That's why God sent Jesus. God does not want us to go there. That's good news. He allowed his mercy, grace, and forgiveness to let us be cleansed from sin so that we do not have to go there. The Bible tells us there's no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. That name, my friends, is Jesus, the Messiah. And because the cross is empty, we have the full promise of eternal glory with God fulfilled. Since Jesus died for our sins, God looks at the notation besides all of our names, and all he can see is his Son's blood with the notation, "Forgiven." God the Father sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ instead of our own righteousness. On that first Easter morning, just before dawn, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, went to the tomb so that they could anoint Jesus' body with spices and oils. There was no time to do that on Friday when he was laid in the tomb. It's quite a solemn task, and I can just imagine how their conversation must have been subdued and sullen. On the way, they were probably wondering who was going to roll the big heavy stone away from the tomb so that they could get in. But when they got to the tomb entrance, they felt the earth shake. They were frightened, but they continued toward the tomb. When they got to the front of it, they were shocked to see Roman soldiers unconscious, and the rock was already rolled away. And there was a man dressed in white sitting there. They became even more frightened. The young man told them that they were there to see Jesus, the one who was crucified. He said that Jesus was not there, that he had risen and the tomb was empty. Let me tell you, that empty tomb alone has a lot of promise. Many people think a woman's place in the kingdom of God is a place of silence and passiveness. Is that what God wants, or is that what man wants? Let me remind you that it was women who God chose to be the first that he told about the resurrection. After that, they were told to go and tell. I believe that God wants all of his children actively involved in his kingdom, and that includes his church too. I'm pleased to honor the ministry of women in this church as lay readers or lectors, as lay Eucharistic ministers, as acolytes, as choir members, members of the Altar Guild, who tirelessly spent hours yesterday preparing this church and all through Holy Week, transforming it from a place of glory to a tomb and then back to a place of glory. And they don't just do it for Holy Week and Easter. They do it throughout the year for the life of the church. I want to tell you about Philip. Philip was a young boy of 8 whose parents had just moved to town from a neighboring state. Philip didn't know anyone. And at that age, that could be devastating in itself. Philip had other problems too. He was a special needs child who had many physical and mental handicaps. His parents started going to the local church and enrolled Philip in the Sunday school classes. Well, like most people that age, the other children in that class didn't know how to react to Philip, so they pretty much stayed to themselves and ignored him. One Sunday, the teacher asked all the kids to bring something in the next week that would help explain something about how Jesus rose from the tomb. The next week came, one boy brought in some towels and said that that shows how they wrapped Jesus when he was buried. One of the girls brought in a poem about how Jesus was hanged on the cross and died there. The teacher reminded the children that the show and tell was to focus on how Jesus arose from the tomb, not how he was buried or how he died on the cross. Well, Philip was next, and he handed the teacher a large plastic egg that he got from his mother. The teacher opened it, and there was nothing inside. At this, all the other kids started laughing at Philip, and even a few called him stupid. Philip turned to the class and said he wasn't stupid, that the empty egg showed perfectly well how Jesus rose and left the tomb empty, just as empty as the egg. With that, the entire class felt silent. They realized Philip was the only one who seemed to have gotten it right. And within a few weeks, most of them had befriended Philip, and he became happier than he'd ever been in his short life. Several months later, his physical problems caught up with Philip. He got very sick, and he passed. At his funeral, 9 8-year-olds and their teacher brought their symbol of remembrance, and they placed it in his casket. Their unusual gift of love to Philip wasn't flowers. It was an empty egg, now a symbol to them of new life and hope. It was Philip, the different child, who had helped his friends see the wonderful hope in the true message of the empty tomb. In the empty tomb, we find the truth of resurrection of Jesus Christ and the promise to each and every one of us that we too will be raised to eternal life. To those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. It's no longer anything to be feared. What fear is there when we have the promise that because of the empty tomb, we will live together with our Lord in heaven? Have you ever thought about just why the tomb was empty? It was empty because Jesus is alive. Remember what the angel told the women. He had risen. And the promise of that empty tomb is that we can also live after we die. We can live forever in heaven with God the Father, where we will have the desire to worship him with all of our love forever and ever. But there's a third promise on this Easter day. In Luke's gospel account, in chapter 24, when Peter told about the risen Jesus, when he was told about it, he went to the tomb, and there he saw the strips of linen that Jesus had been buried in. And this could only have meant one thing: Jesus was alive. There are many theories about what really happened. One thing that we all have in common is this: none of them explain why there are so many documented proofs of his being seen after the fact. They all seem to say he died, and they just kind of ignore the rest of the story. But in it, the rest of the story is there that we find the hope of glory. It's the rest of the story that wraps everything up and ties it all together the way it should be. It's the rest of the story that tells how Jesus was seen by over 500 people. How he walked with them, how he talked with them, and how he ate with them. Can you imagine how the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus again, alive? Here was a man that they worshipped. Here was a man that they truly loved, having learned from him and lived with him for 3 years. And here was a man who was killed and buried, taking him away from the disciples. Can you imagine the hurt that they must have felt? But here he was again, right before them. Can you imagine the joy that they felt? Might have been some confusion as well. The fact that he is risen should give all of us that same joy today. He has risen. Jesus lives again, and it's the promise of the empty burial clothes that prove it. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. That first Easter Sunday, as the women went to the grave, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. They were not yet aware of the wonderful promises that day. Off in the distance stood an empty cross. That emptiness was the promise of forgiveness, that their sins should be forgiven. They turned from that cross and went towards the tomb, just to find it empty too. In the emptiness of the tomb, they found the promise of eternal life. Inside the tomb were the empty burial clothes. And it was in the emptiness of the burial clothes that they found that they could still have the promise of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you choose, you can know the hope found in the emptiness of so long ago. You can find the promise Jesus offers through the empty cross, the empty tomb, and the empty burial clothes. It's your choice to make today. We've heard about three promises that God has given to us. The first thing we ask ourselves is if we think God is serious. I assure you that he is indeed. The second thing we need to ask ourselves is if we do not do this today, just when do you think you will ask him in? Let today be the day and don't waste another minute. The last thing we ask is that the most important question we'll ever ask. We must ask God to forgive us and let his beloved Son come into our hearts to change us. When he grants us that mercy and love, Jesus will begin a change, a transformation in each one of us that will absolutely astound you and everyone else around you. I need to ask you a question to answer this question honestly to yourselves. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? I didn't ask you if you had heard about him. I asked if you know him. If you don't be afraid. I just ask you, don't you think you should? Jesus says one of the most promising statements in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you he who opens the door, hears my voice. I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." Do you feel him knocking at the door of your heart today? If you do, open the door and welcome the King of Glory into your life and into your heart. Ask Jesus to come into your heart and welcome the new life and hope of the resurrection that we celebrate today as the body of Christ. May we all have the most blessed Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.